Ben?
Oh, hey, Michael.
Oh, hey, Mike. What's up?
Well, I came here because I didn't expect to find you guys here because this is a tavern and Jake doesn't drink.
Sure, what are you talking about?
Wait. What?
Yeah, he's been out drinking me all night, dude.
Yeah, I'm 27 years old. I can drink. Why wouldn't I drink?
You think I'm
20 or something?
In this dimension, you drink. Got it.
What do you mean? Wait, what do you mean, this dimension?
What is you smoke? Are you back on the vape?
What is this? The DC Cinematic Universe?
So, do you guys know that book, Tasha's Cauldron of Everything?
What? Tasha. She's right over there. She's pretty cool.
Well, she created a spell.
Watch your coin pouch, by the way.
I don't have it. Wait. Hold on. Is this actually... Oh, my God. This is amazing. I can't believe I'm about to... Okay. I need to get back on track here. So, Tasha created a spell.
Hold on, Michael. Before you go into this, how long is this going to take? Because me and Ben got to go in like 5 minutes.
Listen, it's going to take less than 5 minutes.
We got to go report. Yeah, we got to go record the podcast with Dalton.
Wait. You guys have a podcast?
Yeah. Snaveler Sniffs and Snails. Come on, dude. You've been a follower like this whole time. You're like our lowest tier on Patreon, which is kind of a, you know, jerk move, but whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Send us a copper piece every month in the mail.
Listen, this is going to sound absolutely insane.
You know, sending money in the mail doesn't really make much sense.
This is going to sound absolutely insane, but I am actually not the Mike that you know.
No, right? Wait, what?
I am not the Mike that you know. Tasha created a spell called Dream of the Blue Veil. In my world, that's a
pretentious name.
In my world, Tasha is not a real person. She is a character in a game called D&D, and I believe I'm in a D&D world right now. So, let me just explain. Dream of the Blue Veil allows you to transport to another dimension, essentially. So, that's what happened. I think I accidentally somehow cast it, which is still mind-boggling to me because I'm from the real world where magic doesn't actually exist. I don't get how this works.
Well, you know,
the next thing you're going to tell me? What are you going to tell me next? That the Monopoly guy doesn't have a monocle?
No, I was going to tell you that I actually have a podcast with you guys called Traveler's Tips and Tales.
Oh, it's such a better name.
I don't know, man. I like talking about haircuts and snails.
And you guys are going to think this is awesome. Dalton, in my universe, who is also a member that supports us and is a fan, sends us 50 gold every month.
What? Well, you really need to step up your game then if you're going to make up stories like that.
I am not your Mike. Okay.
Okay, you're really going to come in here and like oversell, like you're our lowest tier, Mike. What? Whatever. We don't got time.
Send
Bertrude our regards, okay? This gold is for her.
Okay. You guys stay right there. Just watch me watch me disappear. It's going to be cool, okay? It's going to be really sick.
I got a podcast to record.
Hey, Tasha, can you just like banish me or Dream of the Blue Veil me? Cool. Yeah. Wait. Hold on. Why does this look like my house? Am I back in my world? Okay. What's this box doing on my front porch and why is it so massive? I didn't order a package. What? Wait, Jacob? Ben? Is you guys? Wait, whoa! You guys are back!
Hey, Mike! Hey, what's up?
That was such a long trip, but you know what? It beats flying.
Wait, trip? What do you mean?
I mean, we did fly, but we flew cargo hold, because that's cheaper. What's up?
Wait, dude. It was like $5 for the whole flight. It was great.
Yeah, okay. We're back from the UK with Josh.
First of all, that's sick. Second of all, apparently I recorded an episode with some alternate use.
That's blasphemous. But hey, check this out. Mike. Josh packed us with nuggies.
Nice.
Do you want one?
I'll take one. Yeah. What a classy guy.
Yeah, they're UK nuggies. Pretty tasty.
Yeah, they're made with, like, real chicken, even though I guess now they're made with real chicken anyway, but whatever.
Real chicken.
Okay. I don't notice the difference.
That's like Taco Bell saying they use real beef.
Taco Bell doesn't use real beef?
Hello and welcome to Traveler's Tips and Tales. I am Jake.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Ben. And thank you all for sitting through that lengthy and complicated intro.
That totally didn't take us like 20 minutes to decide on.
20 minutes?
Listen.
It's more like an hour.
Listeners, you got to think about this, okay? We've had a couple of plot holes in our recordings recently based off of when we recorded things and when we thought they were going to come out, and then we changed plans after recording, et cetera, et cetera, whatever. But that's all in the past, so who cares?
Yeah, we're not actors, yeah. But we still thought it'd be fun to give a little skit.
Speak for yourself. I've starred in a short film.
You know what? Actually, I have been in a YouTube video where I acted. It wasn't great, but it was a good video.
I mean,
I got to go to a short film festival to show my film, and then our film didn't get shown because the editing was really, really bad.
Oh.
Yeah, kind of a waste of my time, really. But hey, I'm a retired actor.
I guess I should tell all the listeners here, because there was no way for them to guess what this episode's about from that intro, because it's completely unrelated. But today we're doing our Tosh's Culture of Everything review reclassed. This is our second part to it. And we're talking about classability options. Whoa!
You know, I mentioned the book. I think it was slightly related by some form of the word.
Yeah.
In the most abstract way.
A very small thread, but yes, it was connected. But yeah, so what we mean by like classability options, we're talking about like Battlemaster maneuvers for fighter. We're talking about Ranger Beastmaster companions. We're talking about Sorcerer Metamagic. We're talking about Warlock invocations. And that's the whole episode.
Yeah.
I really made that list sound like it was going to be longer, but that's it.
It made it sound like there was going to be like an et cetera at the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But nope, that's all of them.
The et cetera is just everything we say in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is going to be a lot because we're us.
Yes.
Truth.
Welcome to the podcast, brothers.
But anyways, yeah, let's not waste any time because, you know, we never do that, especially this episode. Diving right into Battlemaster maneuvers. What do you got for us,
so, Benjamin? Battlemaster got some new maneuvers. Now, if you guys are not familiar, there's a class, subclass you can get for fighter called Battlemaster, where you get maneuvers that you can choose from. And it's kind of like just special abilities you can use under certain circumstances
aren't aware of it, you could check out session 17.
where we
cover fighters.
You don't have to plug episodes. They've already listened to all of our episodes to get to this point.
At least they should have, and if they haven't, then they should go do that
then
now.
They should check out the fighter episode.
Because if you're starting on this 17. Episode, there's something wrong with you.
Also, you missed a lot of plot, apparently, because our podcast has plot now.
Well, actually, this is the perfect time to come into it, because actually, they would only just now see our
That's
plot.
True.
That we're
this
starting
is a fresh start.
Yeah. Which apparently there's alternate versions of us where you're 27 and I don't even know how old I am, but you drink me under the table, apparently.
Wait, Ben, how'd you know that? This is this universe us, not that universe us.
Yeah, I didn't. You're an imposter.
Ben, get him!
Ben out here acting sus.
Anyways.
So, yeah.
Look at that. We're already off track. Fighter.
So, the first one you get that you can choose from, Ambush, yeah, which is pretty much just a feature in the game. It's called a surprise round, not the point. when you make a dexterity stealth check or an initiative roll, you can expend one superiority die, which is another thing you get from this subclass, and add the die to the roll, provided you aren't incapacitated. Which makes sense, because if you're incapacitated, why are you even bothering to roll initiative in the first place?
I think it's pretty neat, because, you know, you're a big hulking fighter that is probably garbage at stealth because they've got, like, plate armor and whatnot, can now kind of boost their stealth every now and then when they need it. And also, it's kind of a rare occasion where the Battlemaster maneuver is not according to an attack roll, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. It also wouldn't be a bad idea to multi-class a dex fighter with a rogue using this ability.
Yeah.
Or take just because,
you know, that modifier wasn't high enough, right?
Yeah. The second one is called Bait and Switch. When you're within 5 feet of a creature on your turn, you can expend one superiority die and switch places with that creature, provided you spend at least 5 feet of movement and the creature is willing and isn't incapacitated. This movement doesn't provoke opportunity attacks, which is amazing. So roll the superiority die. Until the start of your next turn, you or the other creature, your choice, gains a bonus armor class equal to the number rolled. This is perfect for shielders. Like fun. This is perfect for shield masters.
Yep.
People who want to defend. I can tell you allies.
Right now, my battle master is probably going to take this pretty soon.
It's pretty sweet. Not going to lie.
Yep.
The third one we got is Brace. When a creature you can see moves into the reach you have with a melee weapon you're wielding, you can use your reaction to expend one superiority die and make one attack against the creature using that weapon. If the attack hits, add the superiority die to the weapon's damage roll. This is just useful.
Yeah.
I mean, it gives you an attack off of your turn, which is pretty neat.
Well, because what it does is it gives you an attack of opportunity, but in reverse. It's when they enter your range, not when they exit.
Which I love.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Commanding Presence is the next one. When you make a intimidation performance or persuasion check, you can expend one superiority die and add the superiority die to the ability check. It makes you a charisma fighter.
Yeah, I was going to say, am I sensing a maybe paladin fighter multiclass here?
Or possibly even just a bard.
True.
Fighter multiclass. Or maybe a bard stole this from a fighter because they steal everything else in their class.
That's true. There's feats to give you maneuvers.
Yep. The next one. Grappling Strike. Now, this is especially good because in this book they added a new fighting style where grappling becomes infinitely better than it was before, which is already game-breaking, so there's that. Immediately after you hit a creature with a melee attack on your turn, you can expend one superiority die and then try to grapple the target as a bonus action, which those rules are in the player's handbook, but they're not too complicated. Add the superiority die to your strength athletics check.
This made grapple builds way more intimidating in my book.
Oh, yeah. If this had been out when we were still playing in my old campaign, oh, my God. Kalsoni would have been so busted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So she could grapple and then punch same turn.
Yeah.
You know, and multi-attack.
And she could have taken the unarmed fighting style, too, which I'm sure she would have.
I'm sure she would have, too.
Anyways, the next one. It's also great for grapple builds. Quick Toss. As a bonus action, you can expend one superiority die and make a ranged attack with a weapon that has the thrown property. You can draw the weapon as part of making this attack. If you hit, add superiority die to weapon's damage roll. In other words, you don't even have to try to hit them when they're close to you. You can run at them, and if you're like, oh, I can't get there this turn, throw.
True.
Throw them all.
As you're approaching, before maybe you can reach them with your main movement, as you're approaching, do a quick toss at them or another guy, who cares, and then also still attack with your action.
You know what's actually great about this is there's a fighting style I believe they might have added in this one, or else I'm going crazy. Where you can throw things at people. Yeah, thrown weapon fighting.
Yeah.
You could just be Thor now. Just like, yeah, I just threw a hammer at him. You what? I was like, yeah, I threw a hammer at him. Yeah. Was it a hammer meant for throwing? No.
No.
It was like a one-handed maul. I just threw it at him.
You're just like a javelin machine gun.
True, jeez, javelin machine guns. You mean a ballista? A ballista? Letting them loose. Is that what you're going for?
But also, you know, like a person.
Yeah. So that okay. So off topic, but back in 3.5, there was this thing, due to the weird way a rule was worded, where according to the rules as written, you could like line up a bunch of villagers and have like one guy on top of them and kind of like ride the wave of people, and each person that pushed would add a little bit of speed until the end of the line would shoot out like a cannon, because the guy would be moving at like 500 feet per second. And it was just like, and you could just launch people like that. And it was just like, what? What is this weird rule? It's like, and you could do that with anything. You could be like, here's a ball, and you just have it roll along top of their hands, and it just goes, boom, and just launches the villager cannon. The peasant cannon.
Yeah.
It's really dumb. It is one of those weird things. But yeah. Tactical assessment is the next one. When you make an investigation check, a history check, or an insight check, you can expend one superiority die and add a superiority die to the ability check. In other words, you're not useless out of combat. Congratulations, you win. You win at the game.
Nice. Because we need more excuses for smart fighters.
Or just be an Eldritch Knight. Like, what? True. Eldritch Knights are so good. Also
takes the feat that gets you one Battlemaster maneuver, and you take tactical assessment.
Imagine a investigation rogue. I can't remember what they're called. Inquisitive rogue.
Yeah.
With this as, like, their feat, they took this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's pretty nifty scenario.
We should probably let Dalton know about that. He might find that interesting.
Well, for I think we just did right now.
Okay, so Beastmaster Companions. You get some new options here, and this is if you are a Beastmaster Ranger. And
garbage! Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Well, this makes Beastmaster slightly less garbage, in my opinion. This is a thing that actually replaces the Ranger Companion feature. Which, if you don't know what that is, basically...
You're welcome.
Be happy.
Essentially, you form a magical bond with a beast, and it's basically a companion for you, and then when you lose it, you have to spend 8 hours with another beast to form a magical bond with it, and that's how you get a new beast companion once your original one dies. And, yeah, it kind of sucks.
Get wrecked. You can't just bring back the same thing. You have to make a new friend.
Yeah, you have to go find a new beast. And, I mean, it's cool because, like, it can add a side plot for your character development, but that's about the only good thing that comes out of it. But this one, you magically summon a beast. So it's pretty neat. The beast can be one of three different stat blocks, either a beast of the land, beast of the sea, or beast of the sky. It uses your proficiency bonus in several places, just like the original companion feature. In combat, the beast acts during your turn. It can only move and use its... It can move and use its reaction on its own, but the only action it takes is the dodge action, unless you use a bonus action on your turn to command it to take another action. Yeah.
That is so dumb. You have a beast companion that's your friend and ally, but it won't defend you unless you explicitly tell it to.
Yep. You got to give up your action to let him do stuff.
No, you give up your bonus action, not your action.
If you have a dog and you get attacked by a bear, your dog will attack the bear. That's how real life works, unless you have a cowardly dog, in which case they'll probably run away. But in this case, they're doing neither.
Listen, here's the thing. I said this makes it slightly less worse.
I will continue to hate on Ranger until the day that Ranger gets completely revised.
Sounds like this Ranger is not going to cast Hunter's Mark. Or just not have their Beast Companion do anything for a turn.
The action you can command it to take can be one in its stat block or another action. You can also sacrifice one of your attacks when you take the attack action to command the beast to take the attack action. If you are incapacitated, the beast can take any action, not just dodge. And if the beast has died within the last hour, you can use your action to touch it and expend a spell slot first level or higher. The beast returns to life after 1 minute with all its hit points restored.
Oh, okay.
That's what I really like. Die. You no longer have to spend 8 hours. You just have to spend a spell slot and 1 minute.
But heaven forbid you don't get to it in time and gotta find a new buddy.
Okay, but here's another thing.
This one in the backyard.
Imagine that you lost it at the end of the day during a big fight, all right? And now it's time to long rest. Because when you finish a long rest, you can summon a different primal beast. The new beast appears in an unoccupied space within 5 feet of you, and you choose its stat block and appearance. If you already have a beast from this feature, it vanishes when the new beast appears, and the beast also vanishes if you die.
Oof.
You just get a new beast. And say your other one didn't die because you took good care of it or something. I don't know, because you actually care. And then... All of a sudden, you finish a long rest and you're like, huh, you know, yesterday it was pretty convenient to have something on the ground that could help us out. But now we're getting into some uncharted territory and we need a scout, but we don't have a rogue. And I'm a ranger, so even though I should be able to scout, I can't because I suck. So you get a beast in the sky. It's pretty fantastic. I think overall, and all three stat blocks are in here in Tasha's on this page. And I think my favorite one is Beast of the Land, and it's only because it has a 40-foot speed, a climb speed of 40 feet, and it has a maul attack that does 1d8 plus 2 plus your proficiency bonus. And also, if your beast moves at least 20 feet straight toward a target and then hits it with the maul attack on the same turn, the target takes an extra d6 of damage, and it must succeed on a strength saving throw against your spell save DC or be knocked prone.
Yeah.
It is fantastic. I actually really like that. I don't like that you have to be a ranger to get this.
Well, you do.
Because, like, I would play ranger just to get this, but then that means I'm playing ranger. And I can't do that to myself.
You know what? One of these days, I'm going to play a ranger just to prove how bad it is.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Beast of the Land and Beast of the Sea are both medium, and Beast of the Sky is small, so it's not like you can have, like, a giant hawk or something.
No mounts.
Yeah, no mounts. It is what it is. Like, at least if you're taking the regular companion feature, you can possibly get a mount.
Mm-hmm.
But nah, not this time.
Nope. They said no.
No.
I honestly think 5th edition really messed up when they decided to give Ranger the animal companions and not druids in the first place. Like, if they had focused on Ranger being good on their own, they wouldn't have ever had to resort to the animal companion thing, and I don't think people would hate on them nearly as much if they were just good in the first place.
Yeah, here's the thing.
It's also kind of funny because Tasha's also added animal companions, with druids, where they were able to cast Find Familiar.
Here's the thing. They wanted to combine a mixture of druid and rogue, which is just the wrong approach.
Yeah, Ranger could easily be its own thing. Like,
I mean, that's the thing, is that Ranger is not only druid and rogue, it's also, like,
fighter
and it's a whole bunch of mess.
I think if they were to kind of use, and I feel bad saying this because it's such a big standout thing that it's like they don't want to use it because it'd be too obvious, but they could have definitely just gone with the Lord of the Rings route and used, you know, Aragorn as kind of a baseline for what a ranger should be.
But they didn't.
Yeah. It's kind of a shame.
But this also is not a ranger episode.
Yeah. Every episode that Ranger is in is a bag on Ranger episode, okay?
That's true, that's true. We have to set aside at least 5 minutes.
So moving on to Sorcerer Metamagic. There's only two new Metamagic options, but let's be honest. Sorcerers already have a ton of Metamagic options, and these two are also pretty good, in my opinion. So, pretty sick.
Unlike Ranger.
This one, yeah. Sorcerer is great. It's a great class. I love it a lot. And it's hard to find a whole lot of fault with it.
It's got a D6 hit die.
I said a lot.
Loser. You have the least amount of spells known in the whole game.
I'm sorry. At least we have more spell slots than a warlock.
Oof. It's when you multiclass, idiot.
Seeking spell. If you make an attack roll for a spell and miss, you can spend 2 sorcery points to re-roll the d20, and you must use the new roll. You can use seeking spell even if you have already used a different metamagic option during the casting of the spell.
This man's out here acting like warlock's even my favorite spellcaster.
I'm just, listen, man.
I'm pretty sure I've made it well.
We're
known
past this. Like, we're past. We're on the metamagic now.
Okay. Seeking spell. Seeking spell is pretty neat. You can use it even if you do other stuff.
You basically are a spellcaster with lucky.
Yeah.
Congrats. And then the other metamagic option is transmuted spell, which is my favorite thing, I think, as far as metamagic. You can cast a spell that deals a type of damage from the following list. And when you do, you can spend 1 sorcery point to change that damage type to one of the other listed types: acid, cold, fire, lightning, poison, or thunder.
Yeah, then proceeds to list most of the spell damages.
Yeah,
the only psychic thing really because of Tasha's.
You're missing psychic, force, yeah. Radiant, necrotic.
Which are all kind of like the more exclusive ones, which is fine.
Yeah. But, yeah, I like the idea because even though I think if your DM is cool enough, they should allow you to just reflavor spells as long as you're both under the same impression that, like, this is going to be a specific example because it's something that I actually experienced. If you are playing a cleric that is Tempest Cleric, and later on, you know, you get an ability that allows you to deal extra damage when you deal lightning or thunder damage.
Mm-hmm.
The DM, Bailey, allowed me to have all of my spells deal either lightning or thunder damage. However, any spell that wasn't initially that damage did not count towards that feature extra damage.
Mm.
The only cool thing with this, though, is transmuted spell that would count, because you literally are using a game resource to change the damage type.
That's true. Very true.
So, yeah, I really like this because it has a lot of versatility in allowing you to have a very specific type of character and have a theme.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is one thing that we all love.
Yeah, I do really. I have a weakness for themed characters. Actually, I'm not going to lie, last couple days I've been, like, making new NPCs, and I've just been giving them all, like, themes that they are really into.
The only problem I have with Transmuted Spell, though, is that it uses a whole sorcery point, which, I mean, like, I know that, like, Metamagic has to use sorcery points and whatnot, but, like, I almost feel like late game is not worth it, because sorcery points, I mean, yeah, you can switch your spell slots into sorcery points and vice versa, but still, it's just like, oh man, that's kind of a hassle.
Okay, here's a scenario I'm going to pitch to you.
I know you get them back at short rest, but
no,
still, like,
no. Here's a scenario I'm going to pitch to you. Okay.
Okay.
Imagine.
Pitch me.
You're in a fight against a person who was once an ally, but is now a mutated beast, and all you can deal is fire damage, but fire damage doesn't affect them.
Yeah.
Now, if you were to have this metamagic option, and you could convert that fire damage into cold or acid or thunder, you're useful again.
That's true, but and also
you could just cast endless fireballs.
I understand that, and I get where you're coming from, but also I'm just stating that, like, kind of blows that I have to use a sorcery point, because, you know, sorcery points, you know,
I mean,
they don't come out of thin air.
I understand run out eventually. That, but you can only cast Disintegrate at so many levels before you're out of spell slots.
That's true, and I guess you've got first level spells to spare, because, you know, if you really needed to cast it, you could just cast it at a second level. But still, it's just like, I don't know. I feel like it could be expensive at times, if you're doing it a lot. Especially if it adds up, because you're doing this on top of, like, you know, Twin Spell, which uses a lot of sorcery points all at once, and et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? Like,
I can see where you're coming from on that. I just think it has a lot of usefulness that...
That's just kind of, like, one of my biggest problems with Ranger, though. Or, not Ranger. I'm so used to banging on Ranger, I just automatically faulted to it. That's just one of my, like, biggest problems with sorcerers. It's just, like, I feel like I'm always going to run out of sorcery points so quickly, just because of, like, certain metamagic options, which are, like, really good. I feel like I can only do it, like, once a day, just because of how many sorcery points they use.
Well, yeah, I mean, sorcerers with their resource of sorcery points, it's the same thing, in my opinion, as monks with key points.
In a way, but monks don't tend to use all of their key points at once. And I say tend. There are certain instances where they do.
Yeah, and neither do sorcerers.
My monk specifically is kind of one of those instances where they can very easily blow through all of their sorcery points.
Yeah, there are definitely metamagic options that are expensive, but I think that you're getting very good value out of them.
That's fair, I guess. But yeah. Moving on, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are metamagic options. Right after that, we have some warlock invocations for you. And y'all know I love some invocations. And some of these are talisman based. Some of these are available for all warlocks. Some of them have level prerequisites. Some don't, etc., etc. I'll just tell you as we go through them. So the first one. We're obviously just going through alphabetical order here, is the Bond of the Talisman. It has a prerequisite of you have to be the Pact of the Talisman, and you also have to be at least 12th level to be able to take this one. While someone else is wearing your talisman, you can use your action to teleport to the unoccupied space closest to them, provided the two of you are on the same plane of existence. The wearer of your talisman can do the same thing, using their action to teleport to you. The teleportation can be used a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and all expended uses are restored when you finish a long rest. This can be great for, like, you know, like, sneaky operative missions and whatnot, right? Because you could send a guy inside, and then that guy just bamps out. It could be anyone. You could send in your rogue. You're just like, hey, rogue, put on this dope necklace that gives me, like, all of my power. The rogue's like, sounds good to me. Then he goes in, steals a bunch of stuff, and then just like that, he's out. You know? It's pretty high level, though. But still, yeah. I think it's worth it. I think it's very neat. Moving on to the next one is Eldritch Mind. No prerequisites for this one, but it just gives you advantage on concentration saving those that you make to make to maintain a concentration on a spell. Sounds good to me. It's like budget warcaster, but as an invocation, so you don't have to spend a feat for it. I love it, personally. The next one is Farscribe. This one is a prerequisite of Pact of the Tome. And also is level 5. You have to be level 5 to take it. So, for Pact of the Tome, a new page appears in your Book of Shadows. With your permission, a creature can use its action to write its name on that page, which can contain a number of names equal to your proficiency bonus. When you cast a sending spell, targeting a creature with whose name is on the page without using a spell slot and without using material components to do so, you must write the message on the page. The target hears the message in their mind, and if the target replies, their message appears on the page rather than in your mind. The writing disappears after 1 minute. As an action, you can magically erase a name on the page by touching it. Sounds like a free sending spell, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, that can be very useful.
The next one is the Gift of the Protectors, also Pact of the Tome. This one is level 9, though, for the prerequisites. A new page appears in your Book of Shadows. With your permission, a creature can use an action to write its name on that page, which can contain a number of names equal to your proficiency bonus. When any creature whose name is on the page is reduced to 0 hit points but not killed outright, the creature magically drops to 1 hit point instead. Once this magic is triggered, no creature can benefit from it until you finish a long rest. As an action, you can magically erase a name from that page by touching it. Whereas the first one, the Far Scribe, is good, I think, for like NPCs and other important characters of your game, this one is very much good for your party. And it's pretty neat that they're different pages, because both of them say a new page appears, yada, yada, yada. Which means that you can have different names. They don't have to be the same name. Which is neat. The next invocation is the Investment of the Chain Master. It is, you couldn't have guessed it, the prerequisite is the Pact of the Chain. when you cast Find Familiar, you infuse a summoned familiar with a measure of your eldritch power, granting the creature the following benefits. The familiar gains either a flying speed or a swimming speed, your choice, up to, or not up to, but just as 40 feet. As a bonus action, you can command the familiar to take the attack action. The familiar's weapon attacks are considered magical for the purpose of overcoming immunity and resistance to non-magical attacks. If the familiar forces a creature to make a saving throw, it uses your spell save DC. And also, whenever the familiar takes damage, you can use your reaction to grant it resistance against that damage. Which it might need. It might not matter because, you know, familiars tend to have, like, 2 hit points. But, you know, maybe it might save its life.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's got 2 hit points. And for some reason, it took, like, 3 damage. So you can just be like, have it, please. The next one is Protection of the Talisman. You couldn't have guessed this one either. It is the prerequisite of the Pact of the Talisman. It also has a 7th level, though. When the wearer of your talisman fails a saving throw, they can add a d4 to the roll, potentially turning the save into a success. This benefit can be used a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and all expended uses are restored when you finish a long rest. You know that rogue that you sent into that bank vault or wherever to steal a bunch of stuff? Now every time he misses that trap, because let's be real, he probably forgot to check, he has a better chance of, you know, not failing the dex save or the strength save or whatever save. Let's be real, it's probably constitution.
It's basically like a free bless.
Not so much as a bless, because Bless would give it to attack rolls as well. But it's more so like a free resistance that doesn't, you know, take an action and only last a minute. But it's real neat. I think it's great. The next invocation is called Rebuke of the Talisman. Also, a prerequisite of just Pact of the Talisman. Whenever the wearer of your talisman is hit by an attacker you can see within 30 feet of you, you can use a reaction to deal psychic damage to the attacker equal to your proficiency bonus and push it up to 10 feet away from you, the talisman's wearer. If you went with the rogue, you know, you can, if he starts to like get ran up on by guards and stuff, you can try and fend him off, I guess, and stuff like that. Which is kind of less powerful than the other ones, but you know, you don't have to take it. I think it's okay. I probably wouldn't take it though, even if I was Pact of the Talisman personally.
Sorry, really quick to go back to what I was thinking of when I said it's like a free bless, I meant guidance.
No, because guidance does it with ability checks. Resistance is the same thing as guidance, but with saving throws. And this does it with saving throws.
Either way, we can agree that it's pretty good.
Yeah, I fully agree with that statement. the last one here is Undying Servitude. It is a prerequisite of 5th level, and you can cast the Animate Dead without using a spell slot. Once you do so, you can't cast it in this way until you finish a long rest. You get one free Animate Dead spell a day, which is pretty darn neat.
Pact of the Talisman is pretty good, I gotta say. Like, of all the packs, I'm very happy that they added that one.
I think it's really creative and different than the other three.
Yeah, it's really good. Mm-hmm. It's a really good addition to Warlock.
It's real good.
I think there's a lot more versatility in allowing your party mates to also benefit from your pact at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Really nice. Because you don't. What I found is, like, most of the time with Warlocks, it's like, oh, the Warlock's patron, he's the edgy boy, you know, what did he do? Sell his soul? Kill a child? Who knows? And now it's like, I don't care what he did, it's cool. Like, he can do cool stuff for us now, too.
I'm benefiting it. It just made the Warlock more support, which I love.
Yeah.
Because I just kind of like playing support, but, you know.
Well, and being a support Warlock with Pact of the Talisman, I mean, it opens up kind of new roleplay opportunities as well to be able to have kind of more of a benevolent patron and have somebody who's not necessarily as much of like a selfish play for themselves, get as much power as possible. It's more of a team player who is trying to get power to benefit the whole team, and it can be from either a good source or a bad source.
I mean, and it also opens up a lot more problem-solving opportunities, you know? Like, you can get a lot more creative with your solutions to certain problems with the core, like, aspect of Pact of the Talisman in addition to, you know, like, all the other stuff that, you know, you could do with the extra invocations that we just went over and whatnot. But, yeah. What do you guys think?
I think they've added a lot of really cool things in Tasha's, and I think we could honestly make a whole series in just talking about Tasha's if we wanted to.
Isn't that what we're doing right now?
What? No.
Aren't we on, like, the second part of that?
What?
So if you want, you can also find us on YouTube at Traveler's Tips and Tales. You can find us on Instagram at Traveler's Tips and Tales. You can find us on Facebook at Traveler's Tips and Tales. You can find us on Tumblr at Traveler's Tips and Tales. And can you guys guess what they're going to find us on Twitter?
Is it Traveler's Tips and Tales?
It's at Tips Tales.
Idiot.
What is this?
Stupid
you
dummy.
You fool. You fell for my blunder. you can also go to our email address. Send us a beautiful email telling us your favorite story or anything that you really want to. You can send us hate mail if you so choose. TravelersTipsAndTales@gmail.com. Also, check out our website, TravelersTipsAndTales.com, where you get a small little introduction to the kind of homebrew stuff you can expect to find on our Patreon, which we have at Travelers Ooh. Tips and Tales. And if you support us on Patreon, we would greatly appreciate it because that allows us to create more content and focus on creating more content for you guys. And there's some different levels where you get some different things. You know, if you pledge a high enough amount every month, you get to talk to us, the Travelers.
Because we're so cool.
Yeah. But no, we would love to kind of have you guys in there, and you can use that hour of talking to us or 2 hours. I believe there's an option for 2 hours for certain tiers. But yeah, you can use that time to talk to us about whatever you want, whether it be game stuff, life stuff, or if you want to invite us to a one shot of your own, we might not even charge you the hour and a half, 2 hour, whatever time limit it is. That might just be free because we like to play D&D.
Don't tell them that. They're not supposed to know.
But thank you to Ben's mom and Dalton as well.
Yeah. Yes, they are our top tier patrons. They are really awesome. Neither one uses their abilities, but you know what? They're great people.
We'll take it, I guess. Pretty nifty fellas and lady.
Who I don't even think actually listens every week, but that's okay.
And if you're currently watching this on YouTube, that there will be a link in the comments for a Google form. Please fill it out. It helps us a lot in figuring out what's working, what's not working, what you guys like, what you guys want to see. We want to try and gear this whole thing towards you guys, because without you guys, we really would have no reason to make this other than just for the fun of it, which we do anyways. But
yeah. Also, if you're listening on any of our other just normal podcast platforms, you can check our page and the link will be there too?
Yeah, we can drop the link in there.
Yeah, it'll be there. For sure. Unless you're listening to this, I don't know, like months later, I guess. Maybe it's
If you're listening to this like within the week or two that it comes out, well, I mean, I guess we'll never really close out the Google form, so you can just go back and click on it and it'll still be there probably.
We'll just keep getting reviews. But keep in mind, if you're making this review like months later, we're probably not gonna look at it at that point. Honestly, it might be a new link. It might be a whole new Google thingy.
We might have a whole new form. Google form set out.
Yeah. It might be a whole new link, which for you, in that case, same terms apply to the first part. Like, you know, just go check it out, fill it out, because you know, that'd help future travelers, I guess.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
I think there's just one thing left to say.
I think so too.
Adventure away!